Thank you. Mr. Peters.
Yes, I just wanted to reiterate what you just said, that that the question of director's terms is not before us, and I agree with Mr. Van Aken that that would be a matter for the governance committee. However, the term length and limit for delegates, I do believe is proper for this committee to consider, because it does directly impact the timeline.
Okay, with the stack exhausted, are we ready to consider the issues discussed so far, which with respect to Section 8 was 4-year terms and a 2-year hiatus?
3-year hiatus?
2-year. A delegate should not be eligible for further service as a delegate until 2 years have passed after the termination of the delegate's previous term.
I would like to
separate that, divide.
Okay. Is there objection to dividing that? Okay.
And stack, Teresa?
Okay. Will that be on 4-year terms or 2-year hiatus?
4-year terms.
Okay.
Or just point of information. Did we or did we not agree that it would be 2 4-year terms?
There was no agreement on that, no.
Okay, that's what we're discussing.
So is there an objection to now giving more focused discussion on the question of 4 years, a 4-year term, or the remainder of a 4-year term constituting a term? And anyone besides Ms. Allen want to be on the stack?
Ms. Jane, I wanted to be on the stack.
Yes, Carolyn, please.
Deb Schachter.
Okay, I have Allen, Gatewood, Shafto, Burden, and Goodman. Ms. Allen, go ahead.
Well, I realize that, you know, if we follow through on this, I might be really getting into my declining years at the end of these terms, but I think that it should be 2 4-year terms before you have to take a 2-year hiatus. That's it.
Would you like to pose that as an amendment to the sentence, a delegate may not serve consecutive terms?
That's what I was planning to do.
Fine with me if Jane does it.
Ms. Gatewood, well, you recognize.
Thanks. Yeah, the current Section 8 reads, the delegate's term of office shall be 3 years beginning in December. A delegate may serve a maximum of 2 consecutive 3-year terms, and in no event no more than consecutive years. A delegate should not be eligible for further services as a delegate until 1 year has elapsed after the termination of the delegate's second consecutive 3-year term. So I would propose that we substitute 4-year terms everywhere that the current section has 3 years, and where it says 6 years would be changed to say 8 years.
Okay, those familiar with the current bylaws should be able to follow your proposal.
Do you want me to reread it?
And point of information?
Ms.
This is Lydia.
I was recognized for point of information.
Yes, I just wanted to ask, did you also mean to change the 1 year to the 2 year after the 8 year?
What?
Did you also intend to change the 1 year to 2 years after the 8 years?
Oh, correct. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Shafto?
I wanted to talk just briefly about having a part of a term be a whole term. I think we'll find people who want to serve on the board reluctant to take the remainder of a term. if there's only 6 months on it. It would preclude this from serving for 4 years. I think we need to look at that a little further before we include that into our final plan.
Point of information?
You're recognized for a point of information.
What section are you referring to, Deb?
There was a sentence in there that that a part of a four-year term shall be considered a four-year term.
That was in the original language.
That was in the original language. Well, it hasn't been deleted,
It would be deleted by if we accept the substitute, but it would still be somewhat ambiguous because it's currently ambiguous.
Point of information.
Go ahead, Mr. Letter.
Can you explain what the ambiguity is and maybe suggest how to fix it?
If there's no objection, I can. The proposal from the committee starts, a delegate's term of office shall be 4 years or the remainder of a four-year term. And the member's point is that near the end of a four-year term, those qualified to become delegate because of their position in the prior election might decline to serve because it would prevent them from serving running in the next election. The current bylaws are somewhat silent regarding if a partial term counts as a term, but they are specific as to setting a six-year term limit. In election law, typically that's resolved by if you serve more than half a term, it's considered a term. If you serve less than half a term, it's not considered a term on a term limit. But when you have a specific six-year limit, that would still apply regardless of the number of terms you're counting. So you could have someone reach the end of their six-year term limit in the middle of at a time when there are no elections scheduled, for example.
Chair, may I speak to my motion? Based on what you just said, I don't think it would be prudent to retain the current language. I think there's better language.
Jack on the stack, please.
Let me clarify if the member is withdrawing her proposed amendment.
Well, yes, I would like to withdraw it based in light of your comments. Yes, I'd like to withdraw it.
Is there an objection to that withdrawal?
I mean, I can attempt to retain the. It sounds to me like the language that in Casey's original proposal did not create that ambiguity. So, if I could offer kind of a merger of the two,
I'll give you time to work on that if you need it.
Yeah, I can have it in just a second.
Okay. If there's no objection to withdrawal, we're back to the original language for the committee in which a partial term counts as a term. Was Ms. Shafto recognized?
Before, yes.
Then Ms. Burden?
Is answering recognized. For the stack.
Okay. Ms. Burden, Carolyn?
Oh, I'm sorry, I was muted. I'm going to put sorry.
Okay, the chair was on the stack, but Ms. Shafto made my point, so Ms. Roberts is recognized.
I have a point to make with regard to the hiatus. I know we're talking about four-year terms, right? We're talking about the four-year term portion of the proposal rather than the hiatus? Or are we doing both at the same time? Sort of.
The hiatus is divided, however... let me divide it differently. I actually accidentally left, a delegate may not serve consecutive terms in the division, but that should be in the second part. there's no objection. So what the language before us is, a delegate's term of office shall be 4 years or the remainder of a 4-year term vacated by a previous delegate.
Could you read that again, please?
A delegate's term of office shall be 4 years or the remainder of a 4-year term vacated by a previous delegate.
Do you want to specify, provided that half of the inherited term remains, or are we just going to leave that open for everyone to? That was the point of information for you, Terry.
Right. It would be in order to suggest the amendment to be a delegate's term of office shall be 4 years, or the remainder of a 4-year term vacated by a previous delegate, provided that a majority of that term has not expired, or something along those lines.
Oh, good.
Point of information?
Go ahead.
Are you saying that with that wording, then a person, and if we went with the 2 terms before the hiatus, then a person could serve, let's say someone stepped down as a delegate, and he had 3 years left, so you could serve a 3 and then a 4. But if a person had served 3 years of term and you inherited 1 year, then you could serve 1 and a 4 and then run again? So you could actually serve 9, or how is that working
okay,
out?
Okay, if the committee adopts language that a delegate may not serve consecutive terms, and language that defines a term as 2 or more years when substituting to fill a vacancy, then it would allow up to just under 6 years to count as a term.
What is that? How did that work, Terry?
if someone became a delegate as a substitute and served 1 year and 11 months of the remaining term, that wouldn't count as a term for a term limit of serving consecutive terms or having to wait between terms. If we went by the standard of it doesn't count as a term if you don't fill a majority of it.
Oh.
Because
it came up with time though, right?
Yeah, we've got to be able to remove the disadvantage of filling a short term. And you could do that. You don't have to do it down the middle. You could do that any way you want. You know, you could say it doesn't count as a term if it's less than 3 months in order to fill a vacancy in the last 3 months, and it counts as a term if it's a year or more. You know, you could put the dividing line anywhere specifically in the bylaws if you could come to a consensus on it.
Caroline, start, please.
The member with the point of information is recognized first.
Okay, so you're saying that it wouldn't count towards limiting someone from being able to run for wouldn't count from as a limit to someone from being able to run for a first 4-year term or a next 4-year term. Let's say we go with the with 2 4-year terms before a mandatory hiatus. It wouldn't stop someone from running for their first 4-year term. It wouldn't necessarily stop them from running for a second 4-year term, although it would stop them from serving that entire second 4-year term.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, if language setting a particular number of years for as a term limit rather than only terms is left in the recommendation, then someone's term would expire after that number of years. Another member had a wish to be recognized.
This is Henry.
Mr. Norr, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that would be nutty, if you'll pardon the expression. I think we should take out the language about the maximum number of years and make it a maximum of two terms, and then some language like what I think you were getting at. I don't have it in front of me, but language that basically says if somebody has served a partial term of less than 2 years, that should not be counted as one of their two terms. So in other words, people under that, someone could in principle serve up to 10 years, but the bylaw, I think we should take out the number of years in the bylaws. I don't want people having to resign in the middle of a term because they've reached a maximum number of years.
Yeah, the number of years as a term limit might be offered by Ms. Gatewood in a substitute, but it's not before us now.
I was just trying to work on something there, but you're right, I don't have it. So the current wording, a delegate's term of office shall be 4 years, period. A delegate may not serve a maximum of two consecutive terms.
Yeah.
And then have a separate sentence for the special case of the delegate who steps in to fill the remainder of a vacated.
You're getting there.
Okay.
But you're not there yet.
No, go ahead. We'll move on. I will.
Does another member wish to be recognized?
Terry, did you get Jack on the stack?
I lost my stack. So, anyone else besides Mr. Van Aken? Go ahead, Jack.
We also have the issue of people that serve 1 year in the first election and that are coming up that may have been elected as incumbents and so will have served 4 years at the end of this year. And apparently we have an opinion from our general counsel that 1 year counts as a term. All of these issues, it seems to me, need to be thought through fully so that we have the least confusion after we make a decision. So, I'm not prepared to vote. I'm not prepared to vote on any of these proposals today. That's my comment.
Another member wishes to be recognized.
Carolyn, yes, I would like to be.
Go ahead, Ms. Bird.
Your point about the common interpretation of election law, that if you serve half of a term plus 1 day, you're considered to serve the entire term, and if it lasts less 1 day, you're not considered to serve the entire term. Should that be codified and included in our language? Should we ignore it? I think we need to address that, and Jack's point is well taken, that at this point there is a bit of confusion. So I agree that we're not quite ready to vote on anything yet, but should we be writing that into or avoiding that issue?
I think we should, because if we define term well enough in the bylaws, then that is what it is. Regardless of common interpretations. The common interpretation only applies if there's a challenge and the court has to see what somebody has done before.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no ambiguity, then the more than half a term interpretation won't apply because whatever we specify applies will apply.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, then you do need to codify it a little bit more.
Here's a stab at it.
Go ahead, Ms. Gatewood.
A delegate's term of office shall be 4 years or more than 2 years of a partial term vacated by a previous delegate.
that works. If there's consensus on that common interpretation, what you're doing is you're balancing the opportunity that gives for someone to serve a full 6 years when you think maybe they should be limited to four against the problem you might have filling a partial vacancy if it doesn't have enough time. So if you think that a one-year term is enough to get anyone to step up, even if they might be disqualified, then you don't have to go with the half-year thing. But if nobody has an opinion, then what has just been stated seems, you know, the obvious comment.
Serene, from the staff.
Ms. Roberts?
Jane, thanks for doing that. But here's a question that comes up. Right now there is, and this is, I understand, a separation, I guess, of bylaws from policy, because I don't think we necessarily need to include what I'm about to suggest, assuming it's acceptable to everyone else, in the bylaws, which I think is already way too heavy with detail. But we haven't talked about what, in the case where someone is inheriting a term, if I were elected for a four-year term, and a month before that, I were to give notice that I'd be leaving, then the whole issue of whether 1 month is enough time for the board to give notice that, well, at the next meeting, you know, you as a runner-up are eligible to be seated. What if that person says, well, you know, I can't do that month, but I can do it the following month? We don't have anything specific that I'm aware of that says, well, you know, you must accept the offer within X number of days, because there's some potential for manipulation, which you know, I think has already happened to some degree in terms of someone stepping off of the board in order to have someone then seated for like a year and a half, and then 6 months later they ran again and got back on the board, so that they were able to both place their friend who had been unelected and themselves run again. So we would need to have some sort of guidelines with regard to the maximum amount of time, let's say, that could be allowed between one person stepping off and someone else stepping up, particularly if we're looking at that two-year mark and someone can say by making themselves unavailable for a week, get an extra term. You know what I mean? Make sure they're just a week under the 2 years so that inherited portion, that inherited period doesn't count as a term if they want to run again. So I understand the concept, and I thank you, Jane, for the language, but I just think we have to be careful because we've already seen that you know, things.
Yeah, the member's point could be partially addressed by having the next line read, a delegate may not serve or be elected to serve consecutive terms or two consecutive terms. Whichever the committee decides, that would mean that someone who is elected to serve on a term, even if they did not serve it, is considered in the determination of when if they try to be reelected or be elected for an office that they've stepped down from.
Can I respond?
Yes.
Yeah, it's actually two different things we're looking at. One is whether the person who leaves before their term ends should, in fact, have their eligibility to run again counted as of the date they leave, or as of the date their term would have ended. And there are legitimate reasons for people leaving early. You know, maybe illness or something, and it's rectified or addressed or whatever, their own or someone else's, that may cause someone to leave early. And then we sort of need to discuss how we want to handle that. Does the hiatus, whatever period we decide, whether it's 1 year as currently exists or 2 years, in terms of a mandatory break, we can determine which we want to use for the deadline there. But I was thinking more of the room for manipulation. I shouldn't say more. I was thinking also of the room for manipulation in terms of the person who is inheriting the rest of the term. So it's a two-pronged problem.
course, the chair will just point out that the committee is getting bogged down in discussions that would hopefully have been worked out in the work group. We have language for one sentence in substitute for the committee's proposal for Section 8, which is divided. Remaining in Section 8 is the issue of consecutive terms and the issue of how long between terms.
Can I ask you for that?
Go ahead.
I think the issue that Teresa brought up early in the meeting is something that the work group did not get into. I know it did a little fleeting thought pass my brain, but it didn't settle down, unfortunately. And that is that I think that the way that Casey laid this out made a lot of sense to me. I like the idea of just saying a four-year term, that's it, and then you have to take a two-year break. To be honest, I think that what's going on with people right now are getting burnt out. I think that they should take a two-year break. But the impact on the directors is it does complicate things. So I think this is something that we need to move forward with, but I am in a quandary. Personally, I don't feel as clear cut. So definitely the work group did not discuss the impact on the directors, that the lack of that eliminating the consecutive terms would have. Suggesting that it may be more than we can, that's all.
So, Ms. Gatewood, would you reread your substitute language for the beginning of Section 8?
A delegate's term of office shall be 4 years or more than 2 years of a partial term vacated by a previous delegate.
Is there objection to that language as to incorporate in the proposal?
May I make a suggestion?
Go ahead.
If that were 1 year rather than 2 years, then some of the problems that have been discussed here would not arise.
Does a member wish to propose an amendment?
I'm ex officio.
More than 1 year? No, that's fine. Okay, so then try this. Or more than 1 year. Well, I don't see how that helps, but more than 1 year of a partial term vacated by a previous delegate. Well,
does the maker wish to incorporate that change? Do I hear 18 rooms?
No, if I may, the issue really comes back to the allowing two consecutive terms or not. Because if we don't allow two consecutive terms, then as far as I'm concerned, a term is that any partial serving, any serving of a partial term from the vacated, that it shouldn't count.
Is there any objection to postponing consideration of the first sentence until we decide as the number of consecutive terms?
Thank you.
Okay. The next sentence of Section 8 would be regarding how many consecutive terms a delegate may serve. Most likely it would be a delegate may not serve consecutive terms or a delegate may not serve two consecutive terms.
More than two consecutive.
Yeah, may not serve more than two consecutive terms. Does anyone wish to comment on that, or should we just see where we stand? Would there be objection to...
Point of information?
Go ahead, Mr. Lederer.
Before we vote on this, could I ask if... I don't want to pressure anyone, but there's a bunch of people who have not spoken to this. It would be helpful to hear what the general opinion is on this call before we go to a vote, and you know why people favor one, either one term or two terms. I've already stated why I think two terms is important to, you know, preserve the institutional memory and experience, but I'd like to hear other points of view.
That sounds like a good suggestion. Is there anyone
similar
who has not stated an opinion on one or two consecutive terms who would like to speak on that issue?
This is Henry. I will.
Anyone else? Go ahead, Mr. North.
I didn't think of this issue beforehand when I read Gacy's proposal, but on consideration, I'm strongly in favor of allowing two consecutive terms. I guess as someone having been involved in governance for just 6 months now, I'm very impressed with how much there is that needs to be mastered before one can make much of a contribution. And I mean, this is, even though it's, you know, we're community, as delegates, we're representatives of the listener community, but in fact, we're also, in a sense, contributing to managing a very complex operation with many, you know, financial and technical issues before it, as well as political issues. And I feel like, you know, in fact, the one-year term, as somebody pointed out before, you know, with if we're only allowing one term, we're sort of building in a large percentage of the time of anyone will be, you know, early on the learning curve. And if we allow two terms, I don't think we're really in danger of some kind of an oligarchy taking over, but we will allow people to be, who have proven effective in a first term to continue to be effective for a second term. So I support that change to two consecutive terms.
Mr. Knorr, the language from the committee is a delegate may not serve consecutive terms. May I interpret your comment as a motion to amend that language to a delegate may not serve more than two consecutive terms?
Yes, you may.
Then that motion has been made. Does anyone wish to speak to that motion?
I would like to speak to it, Carolyn, here.
Was there a member who tried to interrupt before the member spoke earlier? Ms. Burden, you are recognized.
I might have accepted that it was a three-year term, but I think one four-year term is adequate. So I am not in favor of two consecutive four-year terms. I think that's entirely too long. So I would speak against that. And vote against that. Yeah, point of information or clarification here, if I may.
Go ahead.
Most telephones have on them a mute button, so instead of hitting the pound down one, you might want to check and see if your phone has a mute button. I think people are still not muted or are coming in and out with the button. Just for your information.
Does anyone else wish to speak to the issue of one or two consecutive terms?
Yes, Casey, I'd like to speak to it, if I may.
Go ahead.
I would like to put the choice before the members so they can either choose no consecutive terms or two consecutive terms.
Mm-hmm.
And all the arguments for and against the positions could be made in the voter pamphlet, and the membership could then decide.
Mrs. Bob?
Mr. Lederer?
I think that's an excellent idea. I think that's really the best way to resolve this. And maybe is there a way parliamentarily that we could also put those options before the PNB and the five delegate assemblies to get a sounding, even though, you know, they could express a preference which would not foreclose the other option from being on the ballot, but just to kind of get a sounding or get an indication of what the leaning in the current governance bodies are.
Certainly. By making it a separate proposal for a bylaws amendment, there would be a Section 8 amendment with no term limits, and then a proposed amendment for a no consecutive terms, and a proposed amendment for no more than two consecutive terms.
Can I follow up?
Yes.
Okay. I would recommend against a no term limits whatsoever, because I haven't heard anyone voice support for that, and the current bylaws have a two-term limit. So I think if you create too many options for the voters, it lends to confusion. I would support what Casey said, which is just the two options we've been discussing tonight, put those on the ballot. But also, I just wanted to clarify the procedural process, because if I understood you, Terry, to say that we just, the way we handle it is to separate it out as a separate amendment that would be voted by the PNB and the delegate assemblies, that runs the risk that if either the PNB or three delegate assemblies reject one of the two options, that it wouldn't go on the ballot. And what I like about what Casey's saying is, regardless of the sentiment of the current sitting boards, it would still go to the voters to make the ultimate decision, but they could benefit from knowing what the preference of the sitting boards is, but that wouldn't limit their choice. It would just be information they would take into account.
I would second that, or third that, or whatever. This is Lydia.
Yeah. Well,
is there a stack, or may I get on it?
That's beyond the committee's power, except as a recommendation.
Right.
Unless we have members petition. But the committee proposal was a delegate may not serve consecutive terms. And we could have an additional, we could have that in the recommendation, and also recommend that a separate amendment be considered by all the bodies, that a delegate may not serve more than two consecutive terms.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I thought I heard something different. I thought that we were not going to include no term limits, right? I mean, we're just, the two options that could go on the ballot would be the two consecutive terms and... Wait, what is the
and
other
one?
Is it the one
term
with the 2 years
one
dividing it,
term
or not?
Or two, one term or two consecutive terms.
Oh, okay. And so I would strongly support that. I think that it would be a perceived conflict of interest for the board to vote itself to consecutive term limits without offering a different option to the listeners to not allow for that.
Could the next line in the committee proposal also affect this issue? And that is, a delegate shall not be eligible for further service as a delegate until 2 years have passed after the termination of the delegate's previous term. If that is left unaltered, that's a single term limit plus a 2 year hiatus.
This is Bob.
Go ahead.
Okay. Affects. Wouldn't that sentence be? Couldn't that be put in both options, and it would just have a different meaning if it was attached to the option about a single term, then it would mean, you know, after your single term, you have to wait 2 years. If it's attached to the other one, it would just mean after your second term is completed, you have to wait two years. So it could just be kind of repeated in both options, and
okay,
the voters would pick, you know, option A or B.
Point of information.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I know when I change phones, I don't know. Did we already vote on having the 4-year terms on haven't voted on uneven numbered years?
No.
Given that it's almost
together.
Been 2 hours, can we start voting on a few things, a couple of the easier ones, like that one, maybe?
That one was postponed until we handled this one because of the way that everything interacts.
Oh, okay. So that's probably what I meant.
So the two options I have based on Mr. Letter's proposal are, one would be a delegate may not serve more than two consecutive terms. A delegate should not be eligible for further service as a delegate until 2 years have passed after the termination of the delegate's second consecutive term. And the other one would be a delegate may not serve consecutive terms. A delegate shall not be eligible for service as a delegate until two years have passed after the termination of the delegate's previous term.
Right.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Hi, this is Sandra in Houston. I need to sign off of this call right now. Are there votes pending?
It's hard to say.
Okay, I'm trying really hard to hang in there, but it's been very stressful. But
this is Lydia. If I may, that's why I was just saying it's getting to the point where people are going to start signing off. And is there any way to at least vote on the concept? I didn't think that I heard any opposition to having the elections on odd number years.
The member's motion to take from the table a motion previously postponed is in order. Is there any objection to considering the Section 3 change at this time?
Well, I'd like to speak to that.
So I presume that's an objection?
Yes.
Go ahead, Ms. Burden.
We haven't really dealt with the question of the transition from one mode of electing to another, and I think that we should really do that before we vote on any one piece of this. How are people going to transition, and what are people who have served 3 or 6 years going to be eligible for in the next election? So I would like to postpone consideration of that issue until we have completed what we're working on now and then a few other.
May I speak to that just briefly?
Ms. Roberts spoke first, so is recognized earlier.
Actually, don't have a problem with Casey going first.
Mr. Peters, you're recognized.
Yes, I believe that the implementation of transition is built in mathematically to the proposal because people who were elected last year to a 3-year term would next be eligible in an odd-numbered year, 2009, whereas those elected this year, if the 4-year term were adopted, would then be elected in the next odd-numbered year, or their terms would be up the next odd-numbered year, which is 2011. Otherwise, if it's not adopted this year and we stay on the 3-year term, then their terms would be up 2000.
Which is why it's so helpful if we do deal with it this year.
Is there more discussion on taking from the table?
Yeah. I said I wanted to speak. I was yield to Casey.
Right. Ms. Roberts.
I'm in favor of the 4-year terms. I just don't see that we can accept the votes will happen only in odd number years without accepting that the terms themselves will be an even number of years. So those proposals are not separable as far as I can tell. If someone thinks I'm missing something, please clarify.
Chair?
Go ahead.
Okay, so I did not hear anybody objecting to the proposed four-year, the odd number elections. There was some debate about consecutive terms, and there seems to be consensus that should be put as an option to the membership to choose between. And I have the sense that nobody is objecting to that being presented as an option. So I think that we are ready to, I've got that language on the terms issue if you want, and then we could vote on those two passages together to forward them to the PMB.
There's a lot more to do.
But
that sounds like an objection to taking from the table, which I don't know if that's a debatable motion.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it was not an objection. I didn't realize it was still on the table. I thought we agreed there was no objection to it.
No, that I heard an objection. So, if there's no more discussion, the secretary should call the roll on the motion to take from the table the proposed revision to Article 4, Section 3 on elections in odd-numbered years.
So are we voting to take it from the table, or are we voting to send this proposal to the PMB?
Take it from the table.
Oh. Okay. All in favor
If there's still objection. Is there still objection to taking it from the table?
Since mine was the only objection,
point of information.
Is mine the only objection? Evidently, then I will remove it.
I have a point of information.
Thank you. Members recognized for a point of information.
I'm restating my question. I don't see how we can separate the issue of odd number year voting from an even number years for the term length. So it seems to me we have to vote on those two things together. So since only one of them was put on the table, are we now taking it off the table and joining them for the purpose of voting?
No, because each item from the committee is undergoing revision. We're having to deal with things seriatim. So the question is, can we return to Article 4, Section 3? There's been no objection to that. So if there is no objection to the language proposed for Article 4, Section 3, then we can immediately continue going back to the term issue.
Mr. Chair, is it Henry?
Who's speaking?
Henry.
Go ahead.
Help me here in parliamentary terms. Is there a way that we could tonight make a vote in principle and refer the drafting to a subgroup? In other words, let me see. What I would propose as a vote, as a motion, would be that that this committee would vote in principle to support election in odd-numbered years, four-year terms, and a choice to be presented to the voters, to the listeners, of whether delegates could serve a maximum of one or two terms.
In answer to the question, yes. The committee can vote in principle rather than provide language. By the time it gets, and could authorize a committee to provide the language. By the time it gets to the voters, there has to be language.
Yeah, of course.
Ms. Brazon?
Yes, but we are caught with a very tight timeline to do all of this. That's the issue. So the more we can at least resolve, whether you call it in principle or not, I think there should be actual votes on those components. I personally think we're ready to decide on those three parts, moving parts. And I would urge us to go ahead and just vote for it. If it needs to be tweaked later, regardless, the PMB will probably refine the language as well. So I would recommend we move forward because we have very limited time between now and July the 3rd to call for what may be a special PMB meeting just to deal with this.
This is Bob. Stack.
Go ahead.
Okay. I slightly disagree with Lydia about the way to proceed. I think some new ideas were put on the table tonight, which I agree with Jane. It sounds like we've reached consensus on the broad strokes of the ideas. And so I think we should, I like Henry's solution. I think, you know, we can agree on principle as to what elements we want in the package of amendments, but just refer it back to the committee for a very short time to really reflect on exact wording, because the PNB is not a body that can sit and tinker with wording. I think that's the role of the working group. And, well, actually, let me ask, when is our next election committee meeting?
I'll research that and get back to you.
Okay. Well, that would affect kind of the process. But hopefully the working group could meet in the next, I don't know, 10 days or so, and that's in time for our next committee meeting. They could come back with very solid language according to the principles we adopt tonight. And then that would really shorten any debate we might have at our next meeting, because we would have already agreed that we want this. It's just making sure the language is really carefully drafted. And then really spend the bulk of our next election committee meeting on this timeline issue, which is, you know, somewhat knotty and complex.
Point of information?
June 17th is the next meeting of elections committee. So that's 2 weeks.
Okay.
Members recognized for point of information.
I passed. That was it. That was my information.
Okay. So it's been proposed that we go through the whole thing in the form of giving instructions to the committee on any language changes that may be required, as I interpret what Mr. Lederer said. And
this is Lydia.
Go ahead, Ms. Brazon.
Yes, okay. I will support that as long as we start taking votes right now so that they have clear direction, at least on those items. Because we're going to start losing people.
Yeah, that was my intent.
Okay, so if then without binding the committee, we phrase it in so far as giving instructions to the work group, that the work group
go
ahead.
I believe the committee would like to send the proposed language for Section 3 and Section 8 back to the work group with the understanding that Section 3, as proposed, be left stand. There's no objections to that, but that Section 8 needs to be crafted to provide an option of to the voters of consecutive or non-consecutive terms, as you stated earlier.
Also, there was your proposed language regarding
for two or more years of a partial term vacated by a previous delegate.
Yeah, and
in terms of definition of term, when it's concerning a partial term. Although, really, I think that the group, I have not heard anybody objecting to the two together, except to the extent that certain members have felt that it needed to be a broader airing of this, and a reading of counsel, but I think that Section 3 and Section 8, as they're worded now, I think that we, if you would like to hear the reading again concerning the terms, I don't think the work group needs to work on it anymore. I think we've hammered it out. It's just a matter of laying it out for the voters how it should be.
The committee has not discussed whether there should be a one-year or two-year hiatus, regardless of the number of consecutive terms.
Point of information.
It would have to be 2 years.
This member with point of information?
Yeah, it's what Jane just said. How could it possibly be less than 2 years? If we have four-year terms and elections only every 2 years, then the hiatus after, you know, when your term ends, then you'd have no choice but to wait 2 years because there won't be an election 1 year later.
Makes sense to me.
Well, I guess you could step in to serve somebody's vacating term, but...
No, you'd have to have been elected.
Yeah, that's right. No, it wouldn't... No. So it would... never mind. Go ahead.
This is Henry.
Go ahead.
I'm a little concerned that the language proposed, as best I could get it, is a little confusing. The first sentence is a little confusing to me. And I think I have some alternate language that's a little simpler and clearer, but I don't know whether... Are we trying to vote on language now, or...?
Oh, let's hear it anyway.
Okay, this is in two variants, depending on whether we go for one allowing for two terms and the other for only one term. It reads as follows. Delegates shall be elected for a term of 4 years. A delegate may serve a maximum of two consecutive terms. In the case of a delegate seated to fill out a term vacated by a previously elected delegate, service of 2 years or more shall be considered one term. Service of less than 2 years shall not be considered a term. A delegate shall not be eligible for further service as a delegate until 2 years have passed after the termination of the delegate's previous term. And then the alternate is the same, except it says a delegate may not serve consecutive terms.
I think that covers the discussion pretty much as well as what Ms. Gatewood's proposal does.
Prefer it. I think it's more clear. It's easier for the reader to follow.
Point of parliamentary inquiry.
Go ahead.
Okay. That language sounds fine from just hearing it, but the main thing that I think is important is if we adopt language tonight, which I'm open, I hear what people are saying, that let's move this process forward, that and then we send it out to the PNB, I would say, the Governance Committee, at least those two entities, that then if somebody comes back with something none of us thought of about the wording, not about the concept, but about the wording, that we are we free parliamentarily without going through some elaborate rescinding process to just modify the language at our June 17th meeting? That's my question.
If we don't send it to the PMB before then, if we don't empower the committee, the work group to directly send something to the PMB, then they must come back on the 17th with wording for us to approve.
No, I'm
before
sorry.
Before it goes to the PMB.
Perhaps my question wasn't clear enough. If tonight we just go ahead and vote specifically for language, like say Henry's latest language,
mm-hmm.
Okay, and we send it out to the PNB, not asking the PNB to vote on it right away, but just for information and for comment and feedback, and the same to the Governance Committee. Then at our next meeting, if there is feedback from anyone, it could be from an LSB, it doesn't matter, that says, wait a minute, this wording is confusing, or you didn't allow for this scenario, or whatever, that then we could amend our recommendation before the final recommendation that we send on June 17th to the PNB, which would be the actual language we want them to vote on. That's what I just want to keep the flexibility open, because I'm nervous about composing bylaws on the phone.
Right.
And not sitting and thinking through, mulling out, you know, reviewing written proposals.
Yeah, my tendency would be to rule that a two-thirds vote would be required to amend the language adopted at this meeting on the 17th. With a two-thirds vote of the committee members present, we could amend it. With a simple majority, we could not.